Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As one Toronto team was already dismantling a Boston team down the road on Thursday night, Mitch Moreland tied the game twice at Fenway in the last three innings. He set it up for Rafi Devers to bag the comeback win. Sorry, you hosers. One win in Boston per night is all you get. The Sox were two outs away from dropping to 3-10. But Moreland would have none of that foolish talk. Two more extra base hits for Mitch. The return of McDonough to the radio booth. A walk-off single from Rafi Devers. Maybe there is a Santa Claus, or at the very least, a beam of light at the end of this April tunnel. All of this explored right now as part of your new favorite podcast we like to call Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. Oh, it's your daily Sox podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
What's meant to be will find a way. Yep, the new guy is quoting Trisha Yearwood. A great way to endear oneself to New England. But Mitchie Two Bags, who was also Mitchie Four Bags, he's the man of the match for Boston again. Very possible, if there was no such person as Mitch Moreland, the Sox would be 1-12 right now. Instead, it's four wins against nine losses, 13 games in. Three of the four wins directly because the dark-haired first baseman with the Mississippi twang has come up big when no one else could really do that. A tremendous at-bat in the ninth. He fouled off one Ken Giles pitch after another. Eventually, the game-tying double. Eduardo Nunez pinch runs and steals third. It gets to Devers, who had never had a major league walk-off hit. Well, now he does. And 4-9 cosmetically looks a lot better than 3-10. Huge comeback win against Rowdy Tellez, Freddie Galvis, and the rest of the Blue Jays shock troops. Galvis was 4-for-4. With a late go-ahead home run. Tellez hit a home run off Eovaldi that some people suggested won a Ted Williams red seat-esque 505 feet. But no matter how far it went, let's sing along with Mitch and enjoy the fruits of a 7-6 walk-off win. Let's do that first before we get to StatCast. Let's set the table. Eventually, we'll hear from a happy Alex Cora on the podcast as well. We'll get you some Nate Eovaldi sound, too. Coming in, we had said the Sox trailed the first-place Rays by 6.5 in the AL East. That's the largest Boston deficit since 2015. Keep in mind, the 2001 A's, the last team to lose 9 out of 12 to start and still go on to win 100. And everyone seems to think 100 may have to be the number this year to get in the playoffs at all because the AL is so top-heavy. So as Lou Maloney ranted on OMF on Wednesday, and I'm paraphrasing liberally, this slow start is no longer cute. Heads being up, certain unmentionable orifices, suboptimal. So time to start making a statement, especially with the grand return of our boy Sean McDonough to work with Lou and Joe Castig. I listened to a lot of the broadcast Thursday night, and it was like a piece of my 1980s and 90s had come jumping back into reality. The cadence, the humor, the sarcasm, the insight. I don't mean to get all the way up his butt here, but great to hear Sean. In his first act as play-by-play guy, though, 5 1/3 off of Eovaldi. So welcome back, Sean. Eovaldi coming in, we had said, hey, of the last 35 batters faced at Fenway, including the postseason, 16 strikeouts, no walks. He knows his way around this mound. There was a tremendous ovation for him opening day. That was the first chance the home crowd had to say thanks again for Game 3. And just like so many other games so far this year, two decent innings to begin, but then an absolute car crash. Of course, it's been a collective failure for the whole rotation. We know that. Sox starters are 0-8, ERA of 8.9. And just for reference here, not only is that worse than the majors, but the team that ranks 29th, the White Sox, their starters' ERA is about 6.9. So that does have an effect on things down the road. The Sox, of course, entered the season with an idea of how many innings each of their relievers would throw, but they did not foresee this rotation being like this in the first month or so. And it's likely there are already a few relievers who have pitched a lot more than anybody wanted to have them pitch at this point. So that means they'll probably have to tinker with the bullpen mix a lot in the coming months here. They'll have to call up pitchers from Pawtucket, ride the shuttle, even guys that aren't on the 40-man. You might have to have them come chew up some innings up now through the All-Star break. Henry Mejia, Erasmo Ramirez, guys like that. Marcus Walden has already come up this past weekend to replace the injured Brian Johnson. Walden is now 2-0. Everyone else, 2 wins total. Walden, Colton Brewer, Hector Velazquez, they've all got minor league options, so they're likely to be shuttled down to Pawtucket if the team needs to bring somebody up. Guys like Hembree, Workman, Thornburg would really need to struggle very badly to be put completely off the roster. The other thing 3-9 did for the Sox to start out is it's been put out there, and I agree, that Alex Cora might actually have to chase some wins now. And he did not have to do that at all last year. Alex prided himself on just not letting one game veer him off the long-term course. He was willing to lose some random game in April or May if it meant keeping his key players healthy later on and keep them fresh. But if you start out 6.5 back at Tampa Bay, I don't know if you can do that in 2019 nearly as easily. The other subtle thing in play regarding 3-9, Tampa Bay can now feel free to believe that, hey, maybe this is our year. Maybe the Sox have lost their mojo. So if ever there was an important game number 13 of a major league season, I'd suggest this was pretty much it at Fenway Thursday night. So we looked at the matchups. The players on Toronto's roster were 1-for-19 against Eovaldi, 7 strikeouts all time. The 0-for-8 Justin Smoke hammers a long 3-run home run in the third. And then two batters later, the rowdy Tellez blast that basically broke StatCast. Lots of discussion about how far that thing actually really did fly. And I guess it comes down to whether or not it actually hit the right field facade, which they eventually realized it did, because otherwise 500-plus was not out of the question, but they finally got it to 449. Rowdy Tellez could be a pretty good player. Had a 70 at-bat audition last year, and he nailed it. 614 slugging percentage. Who is becoming a cult hero with that distinctive name and the big burly body. Kind of sounds like and looks like a pro wrestler. And like Kevin Pillar, a one-time 30th round pick. And so as Pillar is now crushing it as a San Francisco Giant, Tellez with a soul-crushing bomb that made it 5-0. To Eovaldi and the Red Sox credit, you got to give him this. The game stayed close enough because the Sox turned 4 double plays in the first 5 innings. Pedroia, by the way, looked just perfect out there doing it. Last year, they had no game with even 3 double plays turned. They had 4 turned in 5 innings of this one, and that would let Eovaldi off the hook, and sure enough, the Sox began to rally. Maybe it was a good thing they got behind early, by the way, because somehow the Sox are 1-6 when scoring first. They were 74-15 when they did that a year ago. The leads have been gone by the third inning 4 times and the second inning twice, so down 5-0, they put some hot dogs in the hot dog cannon, and they began to fire away. Bottom 3, J.D. Martinez scrapes the monster, knocks in a run. Then finally, an RBI for Devers. 46 at-bats into the season. David Price had had 1. Devers had had 0. But part of that 3-run third to get him back in it. The other RBI that inning from Pedroia, his first in the big league since September of 2017. Bottom 6, they get another run back on a wild pitch. But with 1 out, Devers nailed it home plate on a shallow fly ball to center, hit right at Randall Grichuk. And no, Wendell Kim was not coaching third, but serious business. That was a 266-foot fly ball, and Devers was out from here to Marshfield. Top of the 8th, as a drone was circling over Fenway, and the Sox had tied the game 5-5 by then. And by the way, we understand the FAA is now looking into the whole drone thing. But Ryan Brazier misses his location by a foot. Freddie Galvis launches a home run to untie the score at 6-5 Toronto, looking very gloomy at that point. Nothing doing in the bottom of the 8th, and the specter of Ken Giles for the 9th. Here's how the bottom of the 9th unfolded. Benintendi grounds out, but then Mookie walks. Double the deep center for Mitch Moreland. That brings in Betts. You got 6-6. Nunez pinch runs for Moreland. Steals third. Hello. Everybody see that coming? No? Okay. Well, Bogarts walked after J.D. Martinez was intentionally walked. You got bases loaded, 1 out. Just don't hit it on the ground, please. Devers did that, but he bounced it right over the second baseman. Nunez scores, ball game over. So in 117 innings now, the Sox have started said inning 8 times with a lead. That's it. So you can absolutely make the case they are lucky to have 4 wins right now if they've started an inning 8 times out of 117 with a lead. Their highest scoring inning by far so far is the 9th, and that saved them. 14 runs in the 9th, including the 2 biggies Thursday night. So Moreland has homered in each of his last 4 games with an AB, longest streak of his career. 9 of his 11 hits this year have gone for extra bases. He's got 5 homers, 4 doubles. Go back to the World Series, 6 of his last 12 hits have been home runs. All of that, obviously, is terrific. It makes you wonder if maybe he gets some at-bats against lefties going forward. Steve Pierce can be an option off the bench or even in the outfield, just putting that out there. Right now, Moreland is 2nd in the league in slugging percentage. It's not what anyone saw coming when he was in Texas. I know because I was there. Back there, he was regarded as Doug Mitkiewicz. Great D, hit for average, get you a few doubles, but way more Mark Grace than Mark McGwire. I know it's super early, but Magic Mitch, 5 home runs and 12 runs batted in. He and J.D. Martinez are sizzling, and it's fun to watch it happen. Last Red Sox hitter to homer in 4 straight, Adrian Gonzalez in 2011. And I know it's not much of a novelty this year, the way the ball's been just flying around the planet, but Moreland already the 4th player this year to homer in 4 straight. Yelich has done it. Trout has done it. Dan Vogelbach has done it for Seattle. One more for you. Last Red Sox hitter to homer in each of his first 2 home games of a season, our buddy Daniel Nava did it in 2013. If you like the underdog player, Alex Cora was one of those too. Daniel Nava, meet Alex Cora. He is now meeting with the media. Here's what he had to say after the game.
He took a fastball in the inside part of the plate in the middle of the at-bat. I mean, that's a tough pitch to take. And then he battled, fouled off a few pitches and got a pitch he can handle and hit it out of the ballpark. And then against Giles, I mean, Kenny had a good fastball today. He was throwing 100. And obviously he had the slider. We saw him the other day. He threw a lot of sliders. And he was able to catch up with a fastball again, put a good swing on it, and tie the ball game.
Do you hope this win will get the team?
Of course, of course. I mean, I hope it, you know, obviously we want to get rolling. So, yeah, that's a good beginning. We didn't stop playing today. That was cool. That was cool to see. Nate, you know, struggling that inning, but then he made some adjustments, gave us 5. The bullpen did a good job, 1 bad change up there. Waldy, I mean, we've been using him a lot, and we were trying to stay away from some guys and, you know, base loaded, made some good pitches to get Brito, and then got the ground ball. So that was good to see. You know, it was, I mean, it felt like the whole game we were in it. They scored 5, we scored 3. So it was a good effort.
Moreland's had a big hit, I think, in all 4 of your wins so far.
Oh, we talk about it this morning today. I mean, he's been solid, balanced, swinging at strikes, not defending the zone. Just today they threw him a fastball up in the zone early in the game. He chased it and the breaking balls in the first at bat, but he didn't get down. You know, he feels good at the plate right now. He's in a good place. Like I said, we just got to take care of him. We've been through this path before, and we got another capable first baseman too that he can't hit too. So they complement each other, and we'll make sure we keep him healthy throughout.
All right, so that's the skipper. We wanted to also let you hear from Nate Evaldi. Yes, he skated out of this with a no decision, but like Chris Sale, like Porcello, like everybody in this rotation, really, he is, as Joe Namath would say, struggling right now, and in his own words, here's Evaldi on his night.
I mean, I felt like I threw the ball really well today. I felt like I had pretty good fastball command. You know, my curveball was really good today. It was just came down, you know, really 2 pitches, the one to Smoke and then Rowdy. You know, I felt like Smoke, he battled and fouled off a lot of good pitches, and fortunately, you know, he was able to hit that one out, and then with Talese as well.
What can you say about Mitch Moreland's stack?
Yeah, I mean, Mitch has been, he's been hitting the ball really well lately, and, you know, for him to come through in those big clutch moments for us, you know, we definitely needed that today, and, you know, he came through twice today for us, and, I mean, it's a big win for us.
Do you hope this win gets the team rolling?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like anytime you can come back from behind and, you know, battle the way we did, you know, I give up 5 runs in the 3rd, and for us to chip away and 5-3, and then you know, for Mitch to tie it up when he did. And then, you know, bullpen's been unbelievable, and they were able to get a run off of our guys, and we were able to answer back and, you know, come back and win the game.
Hey, last year, you did a good job keeping the ball in the ballpark and not walking guys.
Yeah.
That's not been the case this year.
Mm-hmm.
Explanation.
Yeah, I mean, those have been the two frustrating things, especially the walks. You know, last game I think I had four, maybe five with the hit batter, and then this time I had four as well. And, you know, just falling behind on the hitters and trying to be too perfect when I'm behind in the counts. And, you know, the results are walks. And that third inning was a big one. I had a leadoff walk, and, you know, it's hard to try to not allow the run to score as it is. And when you give them a free base, it doesn't help. And, again, I had a lead off, or I had a two out walk as well. So, I mean, the walks definitely hurt you, and I got to do a better job.
All right, so that's Eovaldi. And coming up now, Friday night, Eduardo Rodriguez trying to get it corrected. 12.38 ERA, two starts in. David Hess, yeah, a guy named for a gas station, with a 2.70 ERA, off to a very nice start for Baltimore, which, of course, had a nice start overall, and now is starting to backslide. Saturday, Porcello's on the mound. Sunday, it's Price. Monday for the 11:05 a.m. Patriots Day game. That is Chris Sale against the recently picked up Dan Straley. He's got the 1929 Charleston ERA. Baltimore is now 5-8 after getting rolled at home by the A's on Thursday. Oakland's Chris Davis had a pair of home runs for a second straight game. The Orioles' Chris Davis is now 0 for his last 53. Going back to last year. He's in the fourth year of a $161 million seven-year contract, 0 for 32 to start this season, was 0 for 21 to start last season, most consecutive hitless at-bats ever by a non-pitcher. And we know the Orioles last year were terrible, 47 games won over a six-month period. That's 8-19 every month. That is a mind-numbing rate of failure. But there's not a lot of reason to think that this year bodes any better for Baltimore. You won't recognize a lot of these guys. Machado is gone. Jonathan Scope is gone. Adam Jones we just saw in Arizona. The only guy that really stayed, other than, I guess, Mark Trumbo, Chris Davis. Alcides Escobar lost his shortstop job to Richie Martin. There's just a whole cast of young unknowns here and not a lot of good pitching. And another rookie manager to match up against. After Charlie Montoyo just went 1-1 for Toronto at Fenway, here comes Brandon Hyde. And I'll point this out for you. Of the 30 major league managers, 26 of them played in the big leagues. Three others, Joe Maddon, Hyde, and Brian Snitker of the Braves, at least played in the minors. The Cardinals' Mike Schilt, it's a name you have to say very carefully, played Division I baseball at UNC Asheville, but that's as high as he got. It's the only manager not to have played affiliated professional baseball. Very different story in the NFL. Only 9 of the 32 head coaches played a single snap in the NFL. Adam Gase, the Jets coach, never even played college football. Of course, the dean of NFL coaches, Mr. Belichick, played no pro football. Might have been a better lacrosse player than football player at Wesleyan, but that's a whole other podcast. Anyway, happy, happy, happy on Thursday night. Welcome back, Sean McDonough. He's 1-0. I'm not 1-0, but very happy to still be a part of all that's going on. Very happy to report that Mitch Moreland and company found a way, a 7-6 final score. We'll leave you with that. And now, this is Josh Lewin. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Come back again. Bye-bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.